Welcome back to the Shark Snippets podcast, the bite-sized podcast for anyone who loves or wants to learn about sharks, skates, and rays. My name is Josh, and I'm a marine biologist who specializes in shark ecology. As per usual, we are starting off with the species of the week. And this week's species holds a special place in my heart and memories, as it was the first species of shark that I observed in the wild. I was 12 years old and in Lanzarote, which is in the Canary Islands off of northwestern Africa, and I just completed my paddy open water scuba diving course. Halfway through a dive, we came to a large sandy area with a few rocky outcrops just before a drop-off or a reef wall. I must have been about 15 meters away from the shark and 10 meters above, and I could see its unique outline half buried in the sand. Of course, I'm talking about an angel shark, specifically Squatina squatina, which is its Latin name. And from here on in, I will refer to the species just as the angel shark. There are mixed reports of between 19 and 23 different species of angel shark. However, the IUCN Red List has 20 species on it, so we will stick with that. The angel shark is a flat shark and looks similar to a ray with its flat, broad body. But it has large pectoral fins, which are the fins on its side, which again are flat and give the animal a little bit more width. And the average length of the angel shark is 1.5 meters or just under 5 feet. However, females have been recorded up to 2.44 meters or 8 feet, and males up to 1.83 meters or 6 feet. And the maximum published weight is 80 kilos or 80 kilograms, which is 176.4 pounds. Female angel sharks reach maturity between 1.28 and 1.69 meters or 4.2 to 5.5 feet, and males at the smaller range of 0.8 meters to 1.32 meters or 2.6 to 4.3 feet. Angel sharks are live-bearing with litters between 7 and 25 pups and have a gestation period between 8 and 10 months, so not too dissimilar to us humans. Historically, the angel shark could be found from Scandinavia to northwest Africa, including the Mediterranean and the Black Seas. Unfortunately, due to population declines, which I'll go into a little bit more detail on shortly, the historic range has been very much reduced, mainly because of a severe population depletion, and also local extinction, particularly in the northern parts of its range in Scandinavia, and also range contraction. So the species is actually unfortunately now locally extinct or extremely rare over much of its former range. And it's actually believed that the majority of the remaining populations are found around the Canary Islands. The angel shark is a benthic species, meaning that it spends most, if not all, of its time on the seafloor and prefers muddy or sandy bottoms. They occur inshore in the intertidal or subtidal zone at around 5 metres or 16.4 feet and it can even be found to a depth of 150 metres, which is 492.1 feet. The angel shark is an ambush predator, and it's a very good one at that. With its sandy complexion and coloration, combined with its body twerking abilities to shuffle sand around and on top of it, it provides the ultimate camouflage to wait for its unsuspecting prey to swim in front of its mouth, and bang! Its jaws explode open and cause its prey to be sucked into its mouth in 1/10 of a second, which is lightning quick. There's a great little National Geographic video, which is actually on the Pacific angel shark, and it shows its ambush hunting method. And I'll put the link in the description, and it's definitely worth a little watch. It's only a 3-minute video, but it's really interesting to see. And the ambush attack that it does at the end is really cool. So the angel shark is listed as critically endangered on the IUCN Red List. And unfortunately, because angel sharks spend the majority of their time on the seafloor, they're highly susceptible to becoming bycatch from trawling fishing. So benthic trawling has increased in both intensity and efficiency on the shelf and the slope area, which is the angel shark's habitat, particularly off the northeast, particularly in the northeast Atlantic and Mediterranean Sea over the last 50 years. This species is also caught, incidentally, in trammel nets and bottom long lines throughout its range, and formerly had its own targeted fisheries in parts of the Mediterranean Sea. Human disturbance by habitat degradation and tourism are also possible threats to its preferred sandy nearshore habitat. Think of all of those people going in and wading in the waters and the shallows where particularly a lot of the juvenile angel sharks live, and also just that being dredged out as well to make hotels and make the perfect beach for those hotels. And unfortunately, angel sharks have a low rate of exchange between populations. This means that different populations rarely overlap, or the individuals within those populations rarely overlap or come into contact with each other, which unfortunately means that the chance of recolonization, particularly of the areas where it's locally extinct, will be extremely low. So unfortunately, the future for this unique species is very much in jeopardy. And if you want to see the species in the wild, then I would suggest going to the Canary Islands, where there are a couple of great organizations doing some amazing scientific work. One of these groups is the Angel Shark Network, which works under the Zoological Society of London and has some great information on their website. So definitely go and check that out. Their website will be linked in the description for the podcast. And if you'd like any more information on where or and how you can see this amazing species, then feel free to tweet me or drop me an email. As per usual, the details will be in the podcast description. So, the first shark in the news article is another preventable shark attack. So, not dissimilar to one of last week's sharks in the news sections about the woman who got dragged into the water by the tawny nurse shark in Australia. This time, the culprit was again a species of the formidable and scary nurse shark. Dun dun dun. Just to clarify, that was sarcasm. They're far from that, bless them. So the title of the article is Katarina Zaratuski, excuse my pronunciation, the model bitten by a nurse shark while posing on holiday. So Katarina was on Exuma Island in the Bahamas on holiday with her boyfriend and his family. And unfortunately, she got into water at a famous spot, which is renowned for the nurse sharks and is always considered a must-go place to get a picture for your gram or for the Instagram or for your social media profile. And as she laid back while she was encouraged by locals, a nurse shark must have either freaked out if her arm hit it, or thought her arm was a tasty fish, much to its surprise. And unfortunately did end up biting her forearm. She did require stitches and antibiotics, but she will, of course, be okay and she won't be losing the arm. And I did just want to mention on top of all of that, that she's actually been receiving a lot of hate and some pretty snidey comments, which I personally don't think is acceptable. I mean, in any case anyway, but especially that she's actually accepted that it was her mistake and she's taken responsibilities for the actions, has not said that sharks are a malicious, hate-filling species, and she even said that it won't be scaring her from sharks and swimming in the future. So kudos to her for that. But again, just another example of how unfortunately silly behavior or taking those risks, even with a species which is not renowned for biting or any really incidents such as that nurse shock. It's a very docile species, but can cause problems. So again, just be careful and sensible, people, please, to avoid more stories like this. Two in 2 weeks is a fair amount. But again, kudos to the BBC. This article is from the BBC. Again, link will be in the description. But there's no real scaremongering words, such as some of the less reliable and accurate media sources, shall we say, that I've previously posted. So for the second segment of this snippet, it is only right that I mention the forthcoming week, starting on the 22nd of this month, so a week today. And so if you haven't cottoned on to what I'm talking about, then I will give you a clue or two. The first clue is that it's a reoccurring annual event, maybe about sharks. Have you got it yet? I mean, you probably should have, and you probably have. But if not, then here's the second clue. Last year, it involved the most successful Olympic swimmer in history and a great white shark. I mean, if you haven't got it from that, then I'm just going to have to tell you straight. And it is, of course, Shark Week, the action-packed week full of some, and I will stress, some awesome documentaries. So Shark Week is and has always been a contentious topic for me personally, and probably many other shark scientists. Unfortunately, some of the documentaries get carried away on old folklores and myth and legends, such as the infamous episode about old Hitler, the great hammerhead. And yes, you did hear that correctly, old Hitler. Or they will often use people who are not experts, and this is when the accuracy and the reliability of Shark Week just dissipates. However, generally, any show that has a heavy presence of shark scientists or qualified experts is usually pretty good. Also, another negative is that the show usually revolves around one species in particular, which is the great white, which is, look, it's a cool species, but a little bit overrated occasionally in my opinion. And there's usually not as much diversity as the hundreds of other awesome shark species out there. But ultimately, it comes down to interesting episodes that showcase accurate science or interesting information whilst being entertaining. And then the trashy episodes that usually just are fear-mongering. So in this year's Shark Week, there are 22 special episodes, and I'm going to pick a few of the specials that I think will be good and a couple that I think might flop or not or aren't worth watching. So the first one is Shaq's Shark Week. So supposedly Shaq O'Neal, the ex-basketball player, is scared of sharks, supposedly terrified, and has never seen them in person before. He does have the potential to maybe incite fear and a little bit fear-mongering, and probably might be a little bit trashy. But for me personally, I like Shaq as a personality and think that it actually could be an entertaining episode. And I think it's really been pioneered as like the episode to watch in this week's or the forthcoming this year's Shark Week. Next up is Guy Fieri's Feeding Frenzy. So for those that don't watch Triple D, which is Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, which is on Food Network. Excuse those beeps, apologies. Then if you don't watch Triple D, then you are seriously missing out on a good show. However, this podcast is not about food and food shows, unfortunately, as much as I like them. But definitely worth a watch. And for this episode in Shark Week, Guy Fieri is going to be swimming with sharks in the Bahamas and talking about Bahamian cuisine. I personally have been lucky enough to do both of those in the Bahamas, so there might be a little bit of bias towards this episode with some nostalgia, because conch fritters and battered conch is amazing in my opinion. If you don't know, that is one of the foods of the Bahamas, so I would expect it to make a showing on this episode. But if you know what Guy Fieri is like as just a persona and a character, then I can almost guarantee that it will be an entertaining episode. So with the entertaining but maybe a little bit trashy episodes out of the way for now, a couple that will hopefully be portraying interesting and accurate science are coming up. So the first one of these is the Tiger Shark Invasion. And this episode is, or has, scientist Neil Hammerschlag going to the Galapagos to study tiger sharks, which never used to reside there. Having met Neil and knowing his influence within shark science, it should be a factual and interesting episode, so definitely worth a watch. Then the final recommendation is the Shark Cam Stakeout episode. So if there's been on Shark Cam episodes before, and the Shark Cams are really, really cool. It's where often they will either stick a cam on the camera on the fin of the shark and watch it, or they'll have like a ROV, a remotely operated vehicle, like a mini submarine, following the shark and getting some awesome, incredible footage. But this one in particular is going to be primarily presented by the regular Shark Week scientist, Greg Scomel. And he's going to go to Bimini to study hammerheads and bull sharks. So I'm definitely looking forward to that footage. And with his previous episodes having a heavy influence on the science and its accuracy and generally the scientific content being really good, I would bet on this episode being no different. So now for a couple of episodes to avoid. And the first is Megalodon, Fact versus Fiction. Really, the title says it all. And seriously, Shark Week or Discovery, again, every year there is a Megalodon show trying to suggest that they could be real and they might be out there somewhere in the depths of the ocean. Which I just don't really believe, nor do pretty much any other scientists. So really, I'm just going to say straight up, avoid this, and let's try and boycott this episode to hopefully stop future episodes. And it's not that megalodons aren't interesting, because they're a super interesting species of shark that has occurred, but there's never been any proof in the recent world, and everything is fossil based. So just like the film coming out in, I think it's mid next month, which maybe we'll wait and see. Maybe I'll do a review on that just for you guys. And then the next one to really avoid and stay clear of is Return of the Mega Shark. So no doubt this episode will be chasing around looking for a known large shark, such as the old Hitler one I mentioned earlier. They probably won't find it, and they'll find and just talk about a smaller individual. Generally, it doesn't have any experts or renowned scientists, and it's just kind of a fill in the gap episode. So regardless of the positives and negatives, Shark Week is always entertaining for anyone who really likes sharks, such as myself and colleagues and friends, and it will always generally entertain and excite, although the fake or pseudoscience information definitely needs to be understood that it's there and definitely taken with a grain of salt. So if you're going to watch it, feel free to tweet me with comments as you're watching it, get involved. And if you want to find out more information about Shark Week, then I will put the link in the description of the podcast for Discovery's website, so that you guys can click on and get a little bit more information and I guess get hyped and look forward to the week. As per usual, all links for articles will be in the podcast description. So now for the Sharks in Science snippet. And I'm going to talk about a study on the population of Halmahera walking shark in Kau Bay, North Maluku, Indonesia, by Yopi Yutan and colleagues from Patimura University. So I just hope that I pronounced all of those right. But so for those of you that might not know, there are actually a few species of shark that are called walking sharks because they actually use their pelvic fins, those side fins again, and they actually use them to walk along the reef and the rocky substrates and use those fins kind of as like feet or hands to us to really leverage its body and essentially waddle or even walk across those rocks in kind of a unusual fashion. So I'm actually particularly really drawn to any paper or study from Southeast Asia, particularly in places like Indonesia, as studies from those places are quite rare. And actually, I personally believe there's a wealth of knowledge to be discovered there. It's just unfortunate that a lot of the places are very remotely located and there's not enough funds within those countries to do the awesome science that could be done there. So Halmara, the Halmara walking shark is essentially a type of bamboo shark, and it's actually endemic to the area, meaning that it's not found anywhere else in the world. And the article states, or the paper states, how the sharks are primarily nocturnal and are caught as food or to be sold into aquariums or the aquaculture trade. And regarding that, mostly the larger individuals will be eaten, and the smaller or juvenile species will be the ones that are sold. And actually, there's very little information or previous research that's even been done on this species. So the sharks for the study were caught on night dives, specifically 604 individuals over 296 night dives between March 2017 and February 2018. And the sharks caught ranged between 16.9 centimeters and 79 centimeters. The paper has some really nice graphs, with one in particular, which is a growth curve graph. And it shows that the species can kind of be considered as an intermediate to fast growing species, with a heavy increase in the growing weight, growing rate when they're juveniles. So the study also found that the recruitment of the species was found all year round, as in where they live and reproduce in different individuals. And it can be found all year round at different stages. And that unfortunately, the species could be vulnerable from overfishing as well as habitat destruction. So I've put the link for the paper in the description, and whilst it might not be the most in-depth study or about an extremely charismatic species of shark, studies such as these are critical to our understanding about the lesser-known species, and very, very important, particularly when there are lots of species like this that just don't have, I don't know, the prowess or the invitingness of other larger species. But they're just as important because, again, we don't know anything about these species, and if we don't do anything or if we don't learn about them, then we could potentially lose them without actually even finding or knowing much about them. Thank you all very much for listening, and if you have any questions about the episode, then please let me know on Twitter or via email. The links are in the podcast description. Thanks again for listening. Have a awesome week, and I hope you are all as excited as I am for the forthcoming Shark Week soon.